The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospels. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The gospel of the Lord.
The word is the gospel.
Send them right away.
Okay, guys. It's gratifying to notice that our heaters are working well, doesn't it? At least for me. And if Father Ross nods, it's okay. He just got back from the walk on March for Life. So just let him take a half hour's nap. It'll be okay. As I was preparing for this homily this weekend, I ran across a wonderful little story about Jonah, and I thought you might enjoy this. Supposedly there was a young girl who was in science class, and they were talking about fish. The discussion came around to large fish, and she made the comment that it must have been a very large fish that was able to swallow Jonah, as was told in the Bible. Her teacher said that there was not a fish large enough that could actually swallow a human being, and she said there was because it was in the Bible, and she believed it. Her teacher asked her, "You really believe everything that's in the Bible?" And she said, "Yes, I do, and when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah." Her teacher was a little aggravated with her stubbornness, and he asked her, "So suppose this is all a lie? Suppose Jonah made this up and wasn't swallowed by a fish, and instead of going to heaven, he went to hell?" To which she replied, "Then you ask him." Bright little girl. At any rate, I love that story. When I was looking at today's readings, and probably for the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing about Jesus calling us, or God calling us. And yes, we're talking about what this year, the priest vocations for priests and deacons and religious, and that's very important too. But he's actually calling all of us all the time. It's really, if you look at these stories, they're really about us, about being tuned into God and hearing him and then answering his call and doing whatever he calls us to do. So the questions I want to ask today briefly are we listening to God, and how can we listen to him? And how are we going to respond when we do believe we've heard something from him? I can't really suggest that I know how to listen to God or how he calls us, because there's so many different ways that he can do this, and he does. It's, for instance, think about our Blessed Mother Mary. We know she was contacted by God, by Gabriel. We don't really know whether the angel stood in front of her or not. They said he appeared in her mind or heart or whatever, but nonetheless, she knew it and responded to that call. The gospel today, we hear Jesus calling the apostles, but he's physically there and calling them. And again, they did not know what they were being called to do, but they went ahead and answered his call and followed him. Going back to Jonah, I love this story. The reading this morning was kind of bits and pieces out of Jonah. Jonah's kind of like the reluctant prophet. He really didn't want to do anything that God wanted him to do, but he did it anyway. God did call him and tell him to go to Nineveh to tell the people to repent, or they'll be wiped out. And he said, "Good, they're enemies of Israel. I don't want them to live." God said, "No, I want you to go." So he went down to the harbor and got on a boat in the opposite direction from Nineveh. The storm came up and the men on the boat got scared. They finally found out what was going on and they threw Jonah overboard. The storm subsided, the fish swallowed Jonah. 3 days later, he's let out on the shores next to Nineveh. So again, God said, "I want you to go through the town and telling them to repent or else they will be annihilated." And he said, "I hope they don't listen." But he did it anyway. And of course, they all listened and repented, even the king. And even after that, Jonah railed at God for letting him live. That's Jonah. But nonetheless, he did listen and he did do what God wanted him to do. So when we think about all these things and put them all together, what we're really thinking about is, how do we listen to God? And of course, the answer is, I don't know. I mean, does he talk to us in our hearts like he maybe did to Mary? Or physically appear to us, maybe. Or I also love the story of our prophet Elijah. You know, he was on Mount Horeb in the cave, and he was told to go out and listen for God. And he heard the earthquake, he saw the fire, he saw the wind, but it was a little tiny whisper that God spoke to him and told him what to do. So I don't think we can sit down and prepare ourselves and say, okay, God, do it. Because he may, but he may not. So I think we kind of have to be in tune all the time. And I think the difficulty there with us mostly is that we have such busy, busy lives that we really, I don't think we really listen very much. I'm not saying we're intending to. I'm not saying we're bad people. But I think we're so full of busyness that really finding the time, as brief as it is, to sit down and clear our minds or whatever and say, okay, you know, I'm listening, Lord. And, of course, the challenge there is that may not be the time that he wants to talk to us. You know, I mean, I'm not saying God's obstinate. I'm just saying it's his time and his place, and he'll get us to do things when he's ready to talk to us. So it's almost like it's got to become a habit of some kind. So some way we have to figure out how to do that. And I think the first thing we have to do, I'm a dinosaur. You guys know that. I'm not a big fan of cell phones. I think that cell phones allow us to isolate ourselves from everybody, even though we're supposed to be more connected. Because we can be in our little world with our little cell phones, but everything else is just not even around us, and we can stay that way. So I'm not against cell phones per se, but I'm just saying we're so busy with our lives and our families and church activities and everything like that. When do we find the time to do this? And does it have to be the same time every time? And do you have to be at adoration to do that? The answer, of course, is no. We just have to find the time to do that. So I think the first thing we have to do is we have to decide, I'm going to change something. Somehow, some way, I'm going to figure out a way that I'm going to spend a little bit of time alone with Jesus, at least make myself available to him. And like I said, it's challenging because we don't know when and if he'll speak to us or how. Sometimes he comes through other people and gives us messages that we're supposed to do. So the point is, I think we have to try to be in tune and kind of have those listeners on all the time, no matter where or what we are. And we can choose to do that, or of course, we can choose not to do that. As we know, we have free will. And as such, we can choose to be too busy, and I'll get to that later, and I don't have time for that right now. And that's a possibility that we have to deal with, each of us. So every one of us has to realize that if we spend a little bit of time opening ourselves up to the Lord, whether he wants to speak with us now or not, I think he'll take advantage of that in some way. And I think that that time will expand exponentially as we get to know him and get to love him and spend more time with him. And I think that communication, just like any communication with people here, the more you spend time together, the more you get to know each other, the better, the deeper the relationship, and the more personal it is. So I guess the bottom line is that we have to do this. The monkey is on our back. Like I said, he gave us free will, so we can choose to be too busy and not listen to him and not hear his call. And each one of us, man, woman, and child, has to make that decision individually. You know, yes, there's prayer groups and meetings and all that, and that's fine too, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that relationship with him and that listening to be called to do things, we each have to make our own decision. So we have to decide either to do that, or do we simply not have the time to do it?